Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with our discussion of being saved but yet not transformed. This stemmed from the topic of being strengthened in the inward man, the importance of being strengthened in the inward man, because we have an adversary, Satan, who is very clever, and Satan's main tool is deception, and his tool of deception is to stop the believer from walking or operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. He desires to keep us ignorant of God's redemption plan, how to apply it to our daily living. So the fight that we have today is not against individuals, not against people, is not against what the world or whatever. The fight is against a demonic order, a force that is, in essence, good versus evil. And this force, as the same way that God uses individuals, is the same way that Satan uses individuals to promote an agenda. And if we go to Isaiah 14, we're not going there tonight, you'll see where Satan wants, from the very beginning, he became prideful and wanted to exalt himself above God's throne. Satan desires worship. Satan desires to be like the Most High God, okay? So this whole plan, that's why Adam and Eve fell. It was to bring about his desire. How did he bring about his desire? It was through deception, the scheme of wanting to have power and glory and pride that was in his heart caused mankind to be used as pawns and puppets and bringing about his plan. See, Satan does not care for any of us. Satan will use us and abuse us. He will offer us the world. He will offer us fame, power, positions, whatever, money. And then he will, once he uses us up, then he throws us away.
Yes.
So there is a playing board out here where God uses his people, but God is never a taskmaster. God is never forceful. God gives us a freedom of choice. See, he does not violate man's will. So he says, this day I've set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life.
Yes.
Every decision that man has made, we have made, was out of a choice. Okay, our own personal choice, our own desires. So if we were, if self is on the throne of your heart and your desires, then we can read this Bible as much as we want. We can read, know it back and forth. But if we're not dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world, and dead to Satan, Satan will use us and he will cause us to fail God, and not only fail God, to be used for his own agenda.
Yes.
And so this is why we've been on the topic of being strengthened in the inward man. God has left us with tools and abilities to avoid the traps and the schemes and the devices of Satan. He has left us with tools that we are to, weapons of warfare that we are to use. They're not carnal, but they're mighty only through God when I place my faith in the cross of Christ. So the first thing, these weapons and these tools are not to be used at my discretion, see? These tools are to be used as the Holy Spirit discern and give me the power of discernment to know when to walk, when to be led, and how to be led by the Spirit of God. Oftentimes we take the tools of God and we, you know, man, we want to take over.
Amen.
We take the tools and the weapons that God has given us and we'll want to go build a big kingdom, a big church, a big ministry, and leave God out of the equation, but yet leave his name attached to our plans and our schemes. Don't we do
it? Amen. Yep. Amen.
So God is saying that I'm looking for people that's willing to be saved, and not only saved, but transformed in their hearts, in their mind, and their thinking. When we get saved, we have to give all of ourselves over to God. Otherwise, if I don't, I can be, I stand to be used by Satan. How? Satan has a plan and a scheme for everybody on every level.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see tonight, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 3, how, when we've read this before, but it's our base scripture, but I want us to see how God desires for us as saints to grow in grace and to be strengthened with might in the inward man. He never put it upon us to live this salvation experience out in our own strength and our own ability. He never put that demand on us. What he demands, the demand that he places is on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's demand on us is that we evidence faith in the right object. That yes. makes sense?
Amen.
So this is the only way that you and I can operate in this world system. It's been proven that God said, I placed you in this world, but not for you to become a part of the world. You can, you and I can't view things like the world views them. You and I have to humbly submit ourselves like Joshua did. Joshua was ready to go into Jericho with their weapons, him and the army of Israel. They were ready to go into Jericho and ready to engage in warfare. But the heart and mind of God was, I have a lady, I have some folks there that need to be saved. So you're going to have to go into Jericho my way. Otherwise, you're going to put them in jeopardy of being lost. See? Why? Because Jericho had a wall. They had walls that nobody could come in, nor could they go out. See, these are the walls that Satan builds up in our lives, walls of fear, walls of doubt. And when the gospel is preached, it is hard to penetrate unless God allow or come up with ways that we can, he said, unless the Lord draws, they can't be drawn. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So if I try to win them through my own mechanism, okay, I'm going to build a church that has the nightclub scene because we're trying to draw them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass out food to get them in. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But when I rely on those things to save people
right.
and to fill my ministry or do whatever, then people will come because of the things, but they're not drawn or compelled by the Spirit of God. They're not convicted by the power of God. You see that? So we want to make sure when we look at Joshua, Joshua had to remove, when he came in contact with the commander of the army of God, the first thing he asked, are you for us or for our enemy? See, God is not for us nor our enemy. God is not about this little petty stuff that we get caught up in, size. We're divided by race. We're divided by class. We're divided by gender. We're divided by parties. And all these, God says, I'm for neither.
Amen.
See that? And so he says, Joshua, if you're going to serve me, you must remove your feet. The control that you have over your life, Joshua, the control that you have over the way you look at things, the control that you have over the outcome and the circumstances or consequences of things, you're going to have to yield that control over to me. If you're going to be my disciple, and the way that Joshua submits and shows his obedience to that is by removing his shoes. See, his shoes stood in between him and the holy ground of God. So it needed to be removed. And when he removed his shoes, it was just him and the ground of God, the righteousness of God, the way of God. See, the holiness of God. That's what he was standing on.
Amen.
And oftentimes in our lives, we try to take control over our situations, our circumstances, what we do, how we don't want God. We will praise him and worship him in an environment of church or what have you, and we'll read the word. But we have to understand that the word has to invade every area and aspect of our life and living.
Yes.
It has to become a part of us. And that's in everything that we do and how we think and how we look. So no longer can we be just saved, but we got to be transformed. Our mind has to come up to the way and the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
So back in Ephesians 3, long introduction, but we're going to get to the point of what God wants here. So let's start at verse 8. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking here.
Okay. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's stop right there, and we're just going to kind of go over those scriptures for a second. Now, understand, see how Paul's position, what his position is here. He said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. It's only because of the effectual, in verse 7, you notice he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Now, by the effectual working of his power. This power that was working in Paul was based upon his faith in the cross of Christ, which brought about the gift of grace. Grace is God's unearned, unmerited, and undeserved favor that's given to us that will flow in our lives uninterrupted as we yield, as we submit to God's way by evidence and faith. It's not about works nor religious activity, but it's about having faith in the right object. So when my faith is right, this work of the Spirit becomes effectual. Mm-hmm. And it's made available, meaning that only as I exhibit faith. So I can be saved and not have this effectual working of his power in me. Okay? So this effectual working means that it will push me to progress. It's not a work that's I'm sitting still, I'm twiddling my thumbs, I'm just doing what it's a work that's transforming me to become more and more in the image of Jesus Christ, to respond like Christ, to act like Christ, to speak like Christ, to do like Christ. Okay? So remember we said last week there's a good work that we can do outside of the grace of God that's not ordained by God. So we have to understand the difference. And so this is where the flesh and the spirit comes into play, because the flesh can do things and mimic the spirit, but it's not really the effectual working of his power.
Yeah.
You understand? So a lot of people, they assume that certain things is of God simply because they're good things or what have you, but it's not necessarily the effectual working. So we have to make sure that we are looking to the cross daily. I have to look to the cross for myself. And as I'm looking to the cross, God is changing me.
Yes.
So things that normally, say, like, didn't bother you 5 years ago, they may bother you or today. Because we're always in a state of where we have to learn and grow and to know more and more. And what God is doing, he's stripping our eyes of physical dependence. He's stripping us from walking by sight. And he's teaching us to walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, you start to see the hidden things lurking in darkness. You start seeing the things that the way God sees them. But this doesn't come. This comes only as I'm exhibiting faith. I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice. Most of us want to go to God dead. Just take me, Lord. He's like, no, you're no use for me dead. Yeah, I know. It's easy to say, oh, I'll give my life I'll become a martyr. Just take me. God wants a spiritual martyr. And a spiritual martyr is much different than being a physical martyr. A spiritual martyr is just being a witness to the things that God has done, you allowing him to decrease you for his purpose. You're dying to self. You're dying to sin, the world, system, and Satan. So when you die to the world system, you start seeing things that the way they're controlled by Satan, who is the ruler of the world system. When you see that, you don't want to hear and see and listen and or whatever. It's a thing with you that your heart starts changing. You're like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that, because they're lying. And so It's not that you're, you know how some people think, oh, you think you're holier than thou. That's what the world would say.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you and I from striving for his perfection, his holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So notice Paul's position. He says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints.
Yeah.
See, he was the apostle. But humility is, it says, humility is made evident here, which can only be made possible by the cross through which grace comes. So when God decreased, put to death things in me, he's not just going to leave me standing there without anything. He's going to give me that which I need. So where, let's say that I was prideful. God now makes me humble. He nails pride, but he puts humility. See that?
Yes, amen.
This is the way God works. He will take you. If you're an anxious person all the time and driven by your own, what you think you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it, God puts that to death, and he will now give you the patience, the temperance, the self-control. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He has to. The first thing the Holy Spirit has to do in our life is to put to death, mortify the deeds of the flesh. And these are good things as well as evil things.
Yes.
Because the evil things are obvious. But it's to remember, our parents, Adam and Eve, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the good things, what Cain brought to God, it was a good thing to bring God an offering in his sight. In God's sight, it was a good thing to bring an offering. But Cain did not bring the right offering. See, that's us. Here we go. God says, bring this type of offering. But he wanted to bring a work and an effort of his own planning and scheming. And this is the flesh. We're trying to please God, do a good thing for God, but yet not the right thing for God.
Amen.
And because he brought not the right sacrifice, now this is the work of the flesh. See it in action. Because he didn't bring the right sacrifice, guess what rose up in him? Envy, jealousy, strife, and murder. What, who did he want to murder? The one that was doing what was right. See this? This is the spirit of the world system. This is the religious spirit in church. Who wanted to kill Christ? The religious people.
Mm-hmm.
See this? They were in church. They had a form of godliness. But they denied his power from putting to death. See?
Yes.
Putting to death the things that were of the flesh. And it drove them crazy. They were envious of Christ. They wanted the same attention from the people that Christ got. They were no longer held as leaders, upstanding leaders. Christ was getting all the attention, and their envy drove them to murder him. Same thing with Cain. Cain did not like the fact that God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. God accepted Abel because Abel brought the right sacrifice. When you and I come to God with the right, with our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and him crucified, it will draw an animosity, an envy, a jealousy, a hatred, and a strife from those of the world system, whether in church or not.
Yes.
And this thing drove, see, it drove Cain. God said, why are you wroth? Just offer the sin offering lieth at the door. That word sin in the Hebrew meant sin offering. Get it, slay it, and bring it. But his heart would not allow him. See that? This is why you and I have to have the grace of God operating in our hearts and lives. So Paul could only see himself as the least of all saints because grace of God was the effectual working of his power was at work in him. This is why you can somebody can call you names and curse you out and say whatever, and it doesn't bother you. See, the world system says, curse them out, get back at them, tit for tat, do this and that. They did this to you. Oh well. See, that's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the flesh. But God is saying you need grace at work in you to humble you.
Right. Amen.
Because the spirit of Christ was that they called him the devil. They spat in his face. They pulled his beard. They whipped him. They crucified him. But it said he uttered not a word.
Amen.
Because what was his purpose? the cross. Had he gotten caught up in himself and his feelings, guess what would have happened? We would not be redeemed.
Amen.
Remember, God always has a bigger purpose. So this is why when the world tug at us and they cry racism and they cry all these things that they have before us, the saint of God cannot be quick to bite the bait. We can't look at things the way the world look at it, because in this world, guess what's in here? Sin, selfishness, all kind of stuff.
Amen.
God knows how the world system is.
Yes.
But he sent a solution, and you and I are to look to that solution, lift him up, let the world see something different. She can love a racist. They had, years ago, they had Johnny Lee Clary, I think it was, and he was a KKK member, and they had a black pastor. His name was Watts, Reverend Watts, and an older man, and I think I told this story before. This man, the KKK guy, eventually he came to Christ through the black preacher. And they tried to do all kind of stuff. They did stuff to his home. They did stuff to him. And he said they would call him and try to tell him, threaten him, or say certain things, change the voice. And they said, he said, "Is this you, Johnny?" They became the best. You can look them up. They became the best of friends, the two guys. And eventually, the black preacher won Johnny Lee Clary over, and he joined ministry with one of the big ministries here. He died a few years ago, but he was on TV, and I would see him preaching the gospel. What happened? Point is, his testimony was that this older black gentleman won him to Jesus Christ. It was God operating. Now, had this man had a spirit of offense, and I'm not telling y'all that to go do things the way he did it, but you have to have the effectual working of his power at work in you. You see this? They will put crosses in his yard and burn it. The man still, Johnny, hey, Johnny, kept speaking to him, and it was something about him that drew this KKK member. What am I saying? If we are allowing the grace of God to work in us, now notice what Paul says. He says that I should preach, in verse 8, among the who? The Gentiles, those that aren't saved, the unsearchable riches of Christ. It says the riches of Christ come to us exclusively by and through the cross and are inexhaustible with greater and greater enlargement which will last forever. So, this working in Paul, this working in that Pastor Watts, it caused him to preach the gospel among the Gentiles.
Amen.
It wasn't just his preaching, it was his life. Most of us would have been mad and calling the news station and outing them out and trying to say, expose them and kill them or whatever. But notice, the effectual working of his power in us will lead us to wherever God desires us to go and whatever he desires us to do. Now, notice in verse 9, and to make all men what?
See, what is the fellowship of the mystery?
See that? This was the reason why the Apostle Paul was called and why the grace of God was given to him, and the effectual working of his power is never really about us. It's always about him and his plan. God told us to be light in a darkened world. If we're always offended, how can I be light?
Amen.
If we're always looking at things from a wrong perspective, how can I be light? God's church has to be the most informed church as to what Satan is doing in darkness. And God told Abraham, and he said he will reveal what he's doing to his prophets, but he told Abraham, shall I hide what I'm about to do from Abraham? He came to make known.
Amen.
So here in the Old Testament, God used the prophets to make known what it was that he was upset about, that he was that needed to be corrected, what they were doing. And so God had to use the gifts of the body of Christ to reveal the wisdom, the mystery. They didn't understand what the cross meant, but God gave that revelation to the Apostle Paul, who was a one-time murderer or persecutor of the church. Most of us would turn our head. Y'all know he did this. he used to kill Christians. Oh, I ain't trusting him. But God is saying, as the church, you and I have to be transformed. I see, I can't see him being changed if I have not been transformed through renewing my mind. Every day my mind has to be renewed. Every day I have to bring before God. God will shine light on areas of my heart, and the first thing that we want to do is fight against it. And God, when you find yourself with the thing rising up and you fighting against it, that's God trying to shine light. It's not the other person, but it's oftentimes it's what's in us that's causing us to respond. The preacher could have responded to the KKK burning the cross in his church in an angry or malice way, but he had to know the mind of God. And by being crucified with Christ, he was able to look beyond the offense. So Satan causes us to stay offended and in our emotions, and when we do that, we're unable to see the mind of God and the way of God.
Amen.
So at that point, we're not able to be used like he used the Apostle Paul, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been what? Hid in God. So what does that tell us? We just said God has to reveal his secrets. And I think it's Amos, he said he uses prophets to reveal the secrets. Then he said that we have the mind of God. Who can know it? So it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the mind of God. So if I'm not allowing the effectual working of the Spirit of God to take place in my life, I will look at those who are being used by God as, oh, they're just crazy. They don't know what they do. Why? Because we're looking from two totally different perspectives. One is looking from a human perspective, and the other is looking from God's perspective. So Elijah had a servant, and when the prophets of Baal, and I think it was 400, they surrounded Elijah. And the servant, Gehazi, he's like, oh, Lord, aren't you worried? Master, they're going to kill us. And Elijah immediately prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And when God opened the servant's eyes, there were like hundreds of thousands of angels all around those 400 Baal prophets. What am I saying? God has things that he hides from us. If we're not careful, Christ told the disciples, he said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said, because it has been given for you to know. But the people that's just coming for the intent of not being changed, just want to be curious, just want to be nosy, but they don't have a desire to be changed within their hearts. They just want to come to church and shout and sing and praise, but they don't want to be changed. He said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? He said, for you it's been given to know, but for them that comes out of curiosity or whatever, it's been hidden. God hides things so that we won't know.
Amen.
Why does he do it? And we're going to see this in a minute. Because we have rejected truth. We don't want his way. We only want him when things go our way. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We only want him when things are going good, but we don't want to know the deep things that's in our hearts. So let's keep going. And he says, did we stop at verse 11, Sister Cher?
We stopped at verse 15.
I mean, so, what you just read, we got down to 15.
Oh, no, no, it's 11.
Okay, so
no,
he says,
in 10 he says,
to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, what? The manifold wisdom of God presents the church proclaiming to the angelic host a part of the wisdom of God not previously known to the angels. We're the university for the angels. They don't take part in this redemption plan. So our lives played out here on earth. It's like a university. They're trying to figure, hey, oh, is that why he did it? Oh, wow. He gave them the power to overcome. Wow.
Amen.
They have a role. We have a role. And it's all according to the eternal purpose. It says the purpose of the ages, which he purposed where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. So then he says, in whom we have boldness. So boldness comes through faith in Christ.
Amen.
And we also have access with confidence by the faith of him. So everything, the boldness, the effectual working of the Spirit, grace, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, the confidence that we have, all is based upon our faith in Christ. See? Satan desires to pull us away from this manifold wisdom. He wants us to just know what we were brought up in the four walls, in the routine of church, and the doctrines of men. And if I just stay stuck there, that's why those churches most of the time grow. Mm-hmm. It's because people go to what's comfortable.
Right.
Remember, God wants to take us out of the natural and into the supernatural. The supernatural goes beyond the natural.
Yes.
And so God desired that we, and we'll jump down to verse, in verse 14, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Keep going, Sister Cherry. 16.
That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
So he wants us, as we said before, to be strengthened with might, fortified with might by his Spirit.
Yes.
So when I get saved, the inner man is the spirit of a man. The Holy Spirit ignites my human spirit. And then he takes the time to search out. That light that he lit me with is a little flicker initially. But as I, through faith, walk in obedience, come to know him, he says here in 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So if I'm not evidencing faith in the cross of Christ on a daily basis, that light that was lit is still a flicker. If it ain't gone out and we smelling smoke. So hopefully nobody, we don't smell the scent of smoke. We smelling, earlier I was telling the chair I was around the grill, so that's the smoke of a grill now. Y'all, I'm not smoking. So this flame, my candle is lit. So God, the light of the Spirit has to grow in me. That light that he ignites in me, it has to grow. And it has to grow only as I continue. It can't grow only as I continue to exhibit faith. So my obedience, see, this is what happens. As I walk in obedience, the problem is Satan has caused us to walk in obeying him, just like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a working knowledge of God, but there's always going to be a test. There's always going to be choices to make. And so you and I have to remember, we're reminded of his word. We're reminded that we have to present ourselves to him a living sacrifice. So sometimes you can get away with doing things or without doing things, but remember, God is always standing there watching.
Right. Amen.
And so you're faced with choices every day, and God says, choose life. And so as I walk in obedience, I'm becoming strengthened. I'm becoming fortified in the faith. And the might and the power of the Spirit of God is produced or fortifying me in my inward man. This is why you're not the same from this time last year. We shouldn't be the same. There should be a boldness, more of confidence, more of being able to stand on God's word and not fear man, more of being secure in who you are in Christ Jesus,
amen.
More of not being offended by the world or what people say of you. See, this is how we tell if we're growing. If we're still shaking and still upset and mad at stuff that we should have been delivered from, then that kind of tells us where our footing is, if we're being strengthened or not.
Amen.
So this strengthening takes place in the inward man. Why? Because Satan is very clever, and he will come and blow your flame out. So the spirit of a man is that part of us that knows. It's the mind, it's the will, the emotions, that part of us that know, come to know what the will of God is. And notice he says in 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, and we said last week, being rooted and grounded, some more securely settled and deeply founded. See, we can't just, okay, get saved today and then go out into the world, and because that world is, the world system is mean, it's cruel. You will not be able to stand on your beliefs because it will ridicule you. It will tear you apart. And I find that a lot of Christians are siding with the world because it cannot stand in the face of it. We're siding with the world because we don't want the ridicule of family and friends and what people will say, because we're around these people on our jobs, in our homes or whatever, and we can't stand the ridicule. This is why you and I have to be securely rooted and grounded in his love, because if you're grounded and rooted in his love, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. You may have to stand alone. And if you stand alone, which we will, because Christ said he stood alone, and if it happened to him, we're going to go through it. And so you have to know who you are in Christ. And if you know who you are in Christ and you're securely settled and deeply founded, he says now in verse 18, keep going.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height.
Okay, it says means not only to understand, but as well to lay hold of, so as to make one's own. So remember, Abraham was believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness was placed in his account. Now, whether Abraham in actuality believed God in everything, every aspect, or not, God, in the eyes of God, God put righteousness in his account. Okay? And so now Abraham has to write a check for that. But in order to write a check, he got to make sure that he can hold up to that. He can come up to that standard, put it that way. So it's in the account. God says, in your account, Abraham, now it's up to you to walk this thing out and make it a reality.
Amen.
So I'm making you, I say you're right because you're justified. Even though you did nothing but believe, put your faith in the right object, Abraham, you are right in my sight. Now walk it out.
Amen.
Now I need to see the reality of it. Now I need to make sure you understand what you've been given. So it's in your account, but you may not understand what's in there and how and why I put it there. So this is the purpose of the trial and the test, is to make sure that we come to understand and comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. It says the metaphors used by Paul to explain the vastness of God's love for the saints. You and I have to come to know the love of Christ. In 19, it says, which passes knowledge.
Amen.
See, it goes beyond what I think. It goes beyond what I believe. And now it goes beyond my knowledge, and it goes to something that's beyond me. And it says, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness. Now that it's in your account, you can be filled with the fullness. Come to the reality. Come to the knowledge of it.
Yes.
Come to understand you didn't earn it, Abraham. You don't deserve it, Abraham. See?
Yes. Amen.
You can't merit it, Abraham, but it's in your account. But you and I got to come to the knowledge and understand why it's in there, the fullness of God, why Christ died. See, when I just go to church and never have an understanding and comprehension, like you said earlier, about why, what happened? I was first justified, but what does that mean? That means that now that I've come to Jesus Christ by faith, the Lord says the wrath that was against you is now settled. And because it's settled, because Christ died at the cross, he paid the penalty. What was due you and I, it was placed on Jesus Christ. You're justified.
Amen.
And once I come to understand my position is that I'm right with God, not based upon what I did, but based upon who Christ is and what he's done, I can be transformed and sanctified and delivered from the dominion of sin's power over my life. So
Amen.
He says, how do you do it? The just shall live by faith.
Yes.
So every, the same way that I came to him to be justified is the same way that I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be strengthened with might by his spirit as I exhibit faith and trust.
Yes. Amen.
Because God wants me to come to know something. And what is that? He wants me to know the love of God. When I was sick and no one could help, guess what? My loyalty wasn't to men. My loyalty wasn't to people. But my loyalty was to Christ. He was the one that stepped in. He was the
Amen.
One that made a way, gave the doctors the wisdom when they said there was no way. You see,
yes.
we come to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Hey, we don't know how to fix this, but guess what?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God can. Y'all see what
yes.
I'm saying? There is a wisdom that goes beyond what the doctors know. There is a
yes.
wisdom that goes beyond intellect. There is a wisdom that goes beyond man's knowledge.
Amen.
And if I just base things upon what man says, then I'm doomed to failure.
Yes.
But if I put my trust in what God says and believe him, despite not having the knowledge or the
Amen.
Understanding, guess what? The fullness that you might be filled with all the fullness. Child, I don't know, but I know my Savior lives. My Redeemer lives. What did Job say? Naked I came and naked I'll return. You see that?
Yes, amen.
And so he said, all I know is that my Redeemer lives.
Yes.
Our lives are in his capable hands, and we just
yes.
have to trust him to the end.
Amen.
Now notice in Ephesians 20, verse 20, 3 and 20. Keep going, Sister Terry, and we'll get to where we're going.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto
okay.
him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. So there is a power source that's in us that goes beyond our knowledge. Okay?
Yeah.
There is a power source in us. Now, remember, this is all. He's able to do exceeding abundantly, above that which we could ask or think, what
yes.
according to the power that's working. See, the power has to be working in us. There's
yes.
only one way for the power to work. And if I go to church that don't teach me, then I'm sitting there and I'm powerless.
Amen.
And whatever Satan desires to throw my way, it causes me to fear. Now, remember we said with Jericho, when Joshua got to Jericho, he had to be spirit-led. Otherwise, he would have the plan that God had for those people there, some people there. See, God wanted to save all men. He wants to save all men. But everybody's not willing to accept or embrace what he has. But there was a woman there, and I'm sure she had other family members, Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
Who exhibited faith. See, she heard of the Israelites. And see, the purpose of Israel was to educate the world about the true and living God. See, all these nations had their gods. All these nations had idols and whatever they created to worship as God. Israel's job was to abstain from whatever the world's ways were and to present the true and living God. But the problem we find is that, and this is why God would have them to go in and utterly destroy nations and what had, because he did not want the ways of those nations to infiltrate the Israelites. He didn't want them to pick up their ways. And we see throughout the Bible that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he got to Jericho, remember, the walls were up. And we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The walls were up. None could go in, none could go out. But God had a way of getting those walls to come down.
Amen.
There is a way. The preaching of the gospel is to them that are saved the power of God.
Yes.
To some, it's foolishness. See?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But to them that are saved, it is the power of God. So the purpose of us being saved, even though Israel dropped the ball, God said, I've grafted in the church, and now the church will do what Israel should have done. God never neglected Israel. He said, I put them in spiritual timeout until the church is taken out. Okay? So if we're not allowing this work to take place, Satan can run rampant in our life. He can go and create stuff that seems one way and is really not that way, which causes the walls of fear to go up that nobody can go in nor come out, go out. You see this? You can go quoting the scriptures to them, and you can go saying all kind of stuff that God says and give them all kind of examples. But when the Satan, through the world system, puts up these walls of fear, it causes us to be shaken in mind and spirit. We're shaken in mind and we're troubled by spirit, okay? But when, see, the whole purpose, remember I said God has his people that he uses in the earth, and Satan has people that he uses in the earth. Satan always mimics the move and the work of God. So you and I have to make sure we're crucified daily, because deception is his greatest tool. So let's start at verse 1. We've read this before, but I want to go down a little further, and we'll hit that, and then we'll go down. So verse 1, 2 Thessalonians 2.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Okay, so this is talking about the Antichrist, and after the church is raptured out, he'll be revealed. So it's the church that causes the Antichrist not to be revealed. He's on the scene. There's many Antichrists here, and we have with the Antichrist, he tries to mimic the things of God, and he denies God. He denies God's word, okay? So he's going to, it's one that's going to present himself as a Messiah, and he also at the same time denies God's word, okay? So that spirit is at work today. And it comes, like we said, Satan uses deception. So here we see these saints that were on the verge of being shaken because they thought that the second coming had, the rapture had already come, okay? So he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, okay, nor by the word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So it says, should have been translated the day of the Lord, because this is how the best manuscripts read. The day of the Lord refers to all events after the rapture. Some were claiming, even in Paul's day, that the second coming was about to take place, which of course was wrong. So if he says, notice in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means.
Right.
See, man will deceive. It says, in other words, don't listen to that which is scripturally incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
For that day shall not come except there come a falling away. And this translates as, for that day shall not come except there come a departure first. And this is talking about the rapture of the church. And then after the rapture, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we notice Judas was also referred to the son of perdition, and this is the spirit. It speaks of the Antichrist, who must come upon the world scene before the second coming. Now, Judas was inspired and compelled by the spirit of Antichrist, or the spirit of Satan. He became the son of perdition. He let Satan take over himself. Why? Because of the spirit of He wanted God to perform things according to his way. He did not want to submit to God's way in totality. One, he was a thief with the money. He didn't want to yield everything over to God, to Christ. Christ pleaded. Christ knew he was a thief. He knew he would betray him. And this is what the spirit of Satan will do. He will use us. He doesn't care about people, but he care about his getting his agenda and his purposes coming to pass. And this same spirit is in operation with stuff that we see in the world today. He will use people, evil men, men who have sold themselves over to Satan because of fame, because of money, riches, or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. And Satan is using them. He doesn't care about them. He didn't care about Judas. He only cared about using Judas to accomplish his goal. And we will see this in a minute. This is what Satan does. He uses men to accomplish his goal. Now notice the spirit of this of the Antichrist in verse 4.
Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
All right. So remember I said in Isaiah 14 how Satan wanted to be like the Most High? So it says in the notes, it pertains to his declaration of himself as deity, or that is worship. The Antichrist will put down all religions, at least in that area which he controls, making himself alone the object of worship. Now, we're going to be jumping here. Let's go to Matthew. Keep your finger there, and let's go to Matthew 4. And we'll go to 4, and we'll start at verse 8. I want y'all to see some things here, because the spirit of Antichrist is at work now. And this is the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Let me see how much time we got. Man, time go by fast. In Matthew 4, and we'll start at verse 8. This is talking about the temptation, how Christ, at his most vulnerable state, was tempted when he was hungry and thirsty. Okay?
Okay. Matthew 4:8. Okay. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them.
Okay, stop right there. Now, Satan, because he is the little g god of this world system, he's not the god of the world. He's the god of the world system, that which Adam and Eve was given, told to have dominion over. They forfeited and gave it, handed it to Satan because they obeyed him. To whom you present yourself, servants to obey. His servants you are to whom you obey. They obeyed Satan. That's why the fall came in. Satan accomplished his goal and agenda through deception, deceiving the woman and the man. See that? He never told them his goal. And he never tells us his goal.
Right.
So all these people that are being used in this world system, whether political, whether it doesn't matter, entertainment, whatever it is, this world system, Satan's using men and women to accomplish his goal, which is worship,
mm-hmm.
which is exalting his throne. See, when the Antichrist come at the end, he's going to sit in the temple as the Most High God. He's going to declare himself as deity. See, it says, so when he took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world system, and the glory of them. What does he say in verse 9?
And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
What does Satan want?
Worship.
See that? Satan wants worship because he can reestablish his claim to be equal with God. He has one supreme ambition, and that's worship. He didn't achieve it. He didn't achieve equality with God. He fell. See?
Amen.
He wanted to be like the Most High God, but what happened? He ended up falling.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he's so thinking that he can still exalt his throne above God, and God sits back and laughs at him. This is no competition for God. God is not sitting there twiddling, oh, how am I going to oust him? He's defeated.
Right. Amen.
He's already defeated. You and I have to come to know that. See, we all so scared, and I'm not telling you to doubt his powers. He still has his powers, but we have to remain hidden in Christ Jesus. As long as our faith is in the cross of Christ, we're under the protection. We're in the secret place of the Most High. But what he does is try to bait us to come out of that. How does he bait us to come out? When you and I stop trusting in the cross, we take off the whole armor of God. And now he fires his fiery darts. But the word of God tells us whom we are to resist by being what? Steadfast in the faith. See, it's only faith in the right object that keeps you and I protected.
Yes.
That keeps you and I resisting. Doesn't mean that he's not going to attack, but his attacks is to tempt us to come out of the will and the way of God and the protection of God so that he can destroy us. This is what he did with Judas. Judas was in God's protection. He said, none have I lost but the son of perdition.
Amen.
See, and so Judas allowed Satan to take over by not submitting to God's way. And this is why it's very dangerous. You and I have to let God have his way. Now, notice in verse 9, he said, I'll give you all these things if you fall down and worship me. Notice Jesus' answer.
Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Now, notice here, the way that you and I are empowered by anything is through worship. The way the people of this world, evil world system are empowered, the reason why you see a lot of people in power, spiritual wickedness in high places is because of what they worship. If you and I go behind the scenes and see some of the stuff that these people, these Luciferians and these people, what they worship, child sacrifice, they do these rituals, and I don't know if y'all seen with these witches in the nations going to certain areas, casting spells in certain cities and over certain people. I don't know if y'all seen that. They've been casting spells and doing all kind of stuff and saying all kind of things to cast spells. See, this is what they worship.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants worship. And he has people that worship him.
Yes.
And they are given high positions in spiritual, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a wickedness that's going on that's from the beginning of time in high places. Who were the people that killed Christ? That was spiritual wickedness. The counsel of those people behind the scenes were counseling how to kill Christ. How to have him killed. They plotted from the very beginning. That's spiritual wickedness. These people held high positions. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They lended themselves over to the use of Satan to bring about the death of Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand that God has a plan. God, he's King of kings, Lord of lords.
Yes.
Satan says, get behind me. So whatever, the way to be empowered by anything is through worship. If you worship it. So what you worship will control you. So be careful what you worship. Because that is what will dominate your life for the rest of your life. So Jesus wouldn't pay that price for political power. He's like, get behind me. I don't want, see, there's people that's paid the price, their lives or whatever, been destroyed because they were used by Satan.
Amen.
And this is, Christ could have embraced it. Why? Because he was fully God and fully man.
Yes.
Satan tempted his humanity, he tempted him to use his powers as God. But he was fully man. He was to walk this thing out as a man. Why? Because a man lost it. The first Adam lost it. He's our representative man. He had to come as our representative man without sin. Do it the way Adam should have.
Amen.
So let's go back to, let me see how much time I got. We're back in, where were we at? Y'all help me out. I got 2 minutes. 1 minute.
We're in 1 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians.
Chapter 2.
Now, let me go down here. I got 1 minute, and we're going to go down a little further. Now, in verse, let's go to verse 7.
For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
And so we know that the mystery of the iniquity is talking about the false teachings and the false doctrine that's going on. And it says only he, the church, who now lets, and we've gone over this, who now hinders evil, will let. That's what it translates to. Will continue to hinder until he, the church, be taken out of the way. And keep going.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
So it says after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. That's the wicked. And it says it proved conclusively that the rapture takes place before the great tribulation. So whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth should have been translated the breath of his mouth. And shall destroy them with the brightness of his coming. It says both phrases refer to the second coming. Keep going. Still talking about the Antichrist.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
All right. Next week we'll go to Revelation 13. And it shows us that the spirit that's at work. Remember, Satan's mimicking God, the Godhead. So in Revelation 13, I think it's 2, it talks about Satan, how he presents an unholy trinity. Okay? And we'll get into that next week. And so Satan comes trying to mimic the way and the power of God.
Amen.
And what he does, it says here, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It says, means that Satan is the sponsor of the Antichrist and proclaims the fact that the Antichrist's rise to power, at least in the beginning, will be very religious and it will be very political. See, this is why in the Bible it tells you to keep your eye on Israel. See, stuff that we see and we think is political is really spiritual. There's stuff going on behind it. The man of sin will be lawless. He will promote lawlessness. We see this happening today. We see the spirit of Antichrist at work. But you and I have to be very careful because he has power and uses signs and lying wonders.
Yes.
Now, verse 10, and then we'll close.
And with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Now, this is very critical right here, because the people that he will deceive are those, it says, with all this power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them who perish, refers to the fact that all lying powers and lying signs and lying wonders will be used to deceive the world.
Amen.
And God will allow it. And you say, why would God allow that? Because if we reject truth, see,
mm-hmm.
if you reject it, God he withholds it. He doesn't, you become blinded. So if you reject truth, then you're rejecting everything that you thought you knew. All that will go away.
Yeah.
Everything that you will believe a lie over the truth. That's what's happening in this nation now. There's a spirit at work, and it's causing many people, because of a rejection of the truth. There's no love of the truth. Love of truth has to outweigh your love of people. The love of church, religion, your love of doctrines, false doctrines, your love of party, your love of your own biases. It has to go beyond. See, this is the love of truth. That's why Joshua took off the shoes. Joshua like, you for us or for them. No, your love of truth goes beyond sides. Your love of truth means you stand for what's right and just and holy and good in the sight of God. And so our love for truth, if not, you'll find yourself deceived and you will be caught up in the power, the signs, and the lying wonders and the deceivableness of unrighteousness. It says, and them who perish because what? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So if they rejected Christ and the cross, blindness, hardness of heart settles in. And we'll see next week what happens. Okay, so this is where I want us to go, and I think in Revelation 13, it shows the unholy trinity of Satan and how he uses deception to blind and fool the world. All right, on that note, we're going to close, but for those on the line, hold on, we'll take questions and comments. We want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and we pray we said some things that will help you in your walk and grow you in your faith. And so, with dealing with being saved but not transformed, we just want us to see that God desires a transformation. He desires that we present ourselves to him daily and allow him to deal with the areas of our heart that's not in standing or in line with his way. And so we just pray that you will take these words and that you will, with meekness, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul daily. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.